The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Mind your business with the breakfast huddle, only on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3. Good morning. It's the breakfast huddle. It's time now for Mind Your Business. And you know, on Thursdays, we tend to put the spotlight on the travel industry. Well, not quite travel, but an aspect very important for travel and benefits heavily from travel, the nightlife sector. Like many other sectors in Singapore, it does depend on the success of travel and tourism to flourish, if you think about it. But with that at a standstill, the nightlife scene is obviously starting to feel the pinch, or has been feeling the pinch for a long time. Over the past year or so, we've seen many nightlife businesses biting the dust, closing up the sites at popular nightlife spots like Clark Quay or Boat Quay. It's just quiet. It's like a ghost town. But with the Singapore government planning to open the borders for leisure tourism again very soon, hopefully we'll have this conversation sometime in September. Is this going to be the key for the nightlife scene to survive? But at the same time, you've got the recent KTV cluster, and you have, as a result, the Singapore Nightlife Business Association writing an open letter to address this matter. We're going to get into that as well. On the line with me this morning is Joseph Ong, the president of the Singapore Nightlife Business Association. Joseph, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Elliot. Thanks for inviting me to the show.
We've got a lot to talk about, because I think at the end of the day, whether you're traveling a lot or not, we all value the nightlife sector. It's an outlet for us to just relax, enjoy, have a drink and all that, right? But let's try and get a bit of context. Over the past year or so, you yourself, you're the managing director of One Group. What have you guys been doing over the past year and a half? How have you guys been trying to cope with the situation that we're in?
Well, I think in the past year, most of the bars, the clubs, you know, and the pubs itself, they have to really pivot. They have to change the way they work. Nobody was really open as a nightlife sport, in that sense. So things have changed dramatically, significantly. The 10:30 rules, you know, the no entertainment and you know, the distancing SMM requirements actually requires many of these bars, pubs and clubs to completely change the way they work. They are no longer operating as real bars, real pubs and real clubs. So it's changed quite a fair bit. And one is a little bit different because we've got restaurants, we've got bars, we've got cafes, and we have wedding venues and all that. So we are different, but I do know a lot of my peers, they have to completely change the way they work. And it's rather painful, but they had to do so.
Yeah, I mean, when we talk about pivot, let's be clear, just because you pivot doesn't mean you're going to get back the same profit. You're pivoting just to maybe even survive, also not enough. Talk to us about the regulations that come along with pivoting your business, the nightlife business, that is.
Well, I mean, once we pivot, basically what we're saying is that we are giving up the old ways. That means we're no longer a bar, a pub, or, you know, a club in that sense, you know, which has a very different way of taking care of customers and entertaining them and, of course, allowing them to chill and to enjoy the, basically, you know, de-stress. Most of us have actually moved into, you know, providing food and drinks and becoming like a regular bistro or a regular restaurant or just a regular cafe. And it is by table service, you know, it's segregated, it is intermingling is disallowed and all that. So it's a very different environment right now as compared to what it was pre-pandemic.
Yeah, but it can also come with some additional cost when you're pivoting, right? Because a kitchen for a bar is not necessarily a kitchen for a proper F&B establishment in that sense.
Exactly, yes. Yeah, and it's not just about the kitchen. It's really about the service staff. It's about the people and the mentality of the operators as well. You know, what sort of business do they want to do? And so, yes, the pivot is actually a very major move by many of these bars, pubs, and clubs operators who decided that they can't wait. They have to reopen. They have to basically save their livelihood, and they have to move along.
So the word pivot has come under a lot of scrutiny, especially after the recent KTV cluster. Unfortunate incident, frustrating incident. But I understand that the Singapore Nightlife Business Association wrote an open letter. Could you tell us more about this?
Yes, and first and foremost, we have to understand that, again, the Singapore nightlife scene is very diverse.
Yes.
It's made of, again, pubs, bars, clubs, gastro bars, cocktail bars, even, you know, whiskey lounges, and of course, sadly, karaoke. Because of the pandemic, everyone has to sort of like change, and many people make sacrifices. They pivoted their business and all that. So the KTV incident last week and the week before overshadowed the entire year's effort by everyone. So just now I'm talking about it, we keep talking about this. Look, you know, a lot of people, they have made changes to change their business, and they have changed their business. But that KTV incident really overshadowed the efforts put in. And the reality, however, is that the KTV cluster is actually created by a small group of errands operators. Most of them are not even pivoted operators. Many of them actually have got permanent license to operate as restaurants, not night businesses.
Yeah.
And they were, of course, involved in the unlawful activities. They were brought in, the foreign hostesses, like what Min Shan was saying, right? The boyfriend-girlfriend route. And they breached SMMs, which resulted in many of these COVID cases. So people think that the current Phase 2 heightened alert is due to this cluster, and I'm actually very grateful that many ministers and ministries came out to clarify that misconception and defended this. So I'm very grateful for that. And this letter itself is really to show the public and the authorities that there are many bona fide nightlife operators that are out there, much, much more than these Mala Fide operators. They comply with the law. I mean, the Mala Fide operators comply with the law. And we want to make sure that everybody understands that, you know, there are this group of people that really still requires help to carry on with their business.
Oh, absolutely. It's just, as they say in the army, just a few rotten apples. Doesn't mean all, right? Joseph, I'm very sorry for this next question. I might put you on the spot, but I feel because we brought this up, because we brought this KTV cluster up, we got to try and address this thing and just debunk the rumor or the myth. And there were a lot of social media posts and calls for accountability. Why were these establishments or all nightlife establishments allowed the opportunity to pivot? But you know, you have cases of, like, say, last year, after 10:30, some establishments serving beer in a teapot. I mean, come on, people are going to try and find a way to make extra money, right? Were there policing, the random spot checks? Did these happen? Maybe you could verify this for us on air.
Yeah, I think there was. And that's the reason why you would see, you know, some of this coming out in the papers. And I think, like what Minister Shanmugam was saying, you know, there was one operation every night, which is actually quite a fair bit of work for the police itself, because an operation is not something where you just knock on the door and say, we're coming in.
Yeah.
They actually have to plan that and all that. So I must salute the police for, you know, helping to do this. The problem really was the fact that these are illegal operators, right? Mm. And they actually do not require an F&B license to do what they were doing. And in fact, I think it was alluded that they were doing the wrong things as well in the factories, in the private clubhouses, in the massage parlors, in, you know, even in the offices and all that. And so it was a situation where people were flouting the rules, maybe because COVID has been there for so long. And that's why, you know, we have got all these reactions and all these unnecessary illegal activities that is perpetuated by a small group of operators who somehow managed to get their hands on the hostesses, managed to get their hands on, you know, the entertainment in that sense. And, and of course, behind closed doors, there are only a few things that you can do. I mean, karaoke is one. So they assume that they pretend that they are karaoke in that sense. Of course, you can have a meal, you can have a party, you know, you can do many different things. But It's a closed door environment, and I believe that that's the reason why they are associated with the night businesses. But in reality, these people actually are on their own. So when we say, is there any policing? Yes, whenever somebody pivots, they are asked to make sure that they declare and they understand what SMMs are, what are the requirements and all that. They are then given that temporary change of use to do what is necessary to get themselves into a SMB outlet and all that. And with that, the SFA will come and they'll do their inspections and all that. But we have to understand, SFA, when they do inspection, it's really about hygiene, it's about what are you doing, you know, what are you working on and all that. When people know that the SFA is coming, you know, obviously they will play a cat and mouse game, right? Like what the minister is saying, and it's tough.
Yeah. Well, I'm very grateful, Joseph, that you helped set that record straight so that at least, you know, if any criticism is going around, make sure it's the right criticism. That is also our responsibility when we go on social media as regular people. I understand the Singapore Nightlife Business Association was asked to chart a course on that could help the industry to overcome the current challenges, a three-ring approach. Tell us a little bit more about this.
Yes, actually the minister did challenge us and say that, you know, the industry needs to, you know, show that we can self-manage as an industry and basically to impose our own checks and balances itself, you know, because it is a big industry, it is very broad and it's very dynamic, and the nature about this industry is such that, you know, we are very fast. Whatever is happening in, internationally, we will have to try to replicate what people are doing internationally. And locally, of course, we have to do our own creations and all that. So it is very difficult to manage this industry from an outside perspective. So internally, we have to do that. We have to put in our own checks and balances. We came out with three rings to sort of like be in line with what the ministries are doing. So they have a four-ring approach to every cluster that develops and all that. And so we thought, okay, we should also not confuse the situation. And we came out with three rings. And the first ring really is to immediately help eliminate the KTV clusters and prevent them from coming back. The second ring is to basically help the hundreds of pivoters to restart their pivoted business. Now, this is not to restart them as bars and pubs and clubs, but to restart them as restaurants, which is what they were pivoted into. And the third ring itself is a lot more ambitious, is to rebuild, revitalize, and restart the nightlife industry, because ultimately, these pivoted businesses will have to get back to bars and pubs and clubs. Ultimately, once the vaccination rate is high enough, we will have to try and start to get these bars and pubs and clubs moving. If we continue not to release or not to relax in this particular area, in a sense, I'm worried that there will be more factories, there will be more offices, there will be more massage parlors and all that. That's all doing funny things within, behind closed doors and all that. And so we sort of like need to basically restart the nightlife industry so that everything is much more transparent about what we are doing. And, you know, and within the industry itself, we are creating whistleblower programs. We have gotten the suppliers as well to come together to sign a pledge to basically highlight and identify any of such behaviors. I believe that this combined industry effort is very likely going to make it very difficult for clandestine operators, you know, people who operate behind the scene, to carry on, because they need the employees, they need the alcohol supplies, they actually need the entertainment equipment as well. And if the industry pull together, we'll be able to stop these illegal activities from going on and happening again in the near future.
For sure. And once we've got all this in place, then we can have this conversation that has probably gotten started earlier this week when our Finance Minister Lawrence Wong was speaking in Parliament, talking about vaccination rates, talking about a review of safe management measures, perhaps. So if you want to dine out, if you're vaccinated, you can dine out. And then the magic word, right? Perhaps sometime in September, where potentially we see 80% of the population vaccinated, we can open travel corridors of some sort. Your thoughts when you heard that, and if you can, I'm sorry, we've got to keep that short, but your thoughts when you heard that, and what's that going to do for the nightlife sector?
Well, I think once we open the travel corridor, we have to be careful that we are also inviting a lot of tourists into Singapore, and they are coming into Singapore. If we open the travel corridors and a lot of Singaporeans are flying out, and, you know, if you go to Phuket, you know, if you go to other places, they are much more relaxed about their rules and what they are doing and all that. We will see an issue in Singapore, not just for the nightlife, but even for every one of the F&B, the hotel industries and all that. They will find that the small pool of customers that we currently have will become even smaller. Mm-hmm. So we will have to watch out for that. We have to balance that and make sure that it is good. But, I mean, obviously, reopening the skies also means that we are reopening the ground, meaning to say that the bars and the pubs and the restaurants and all that probably can get back to the normal state of operation, which is something that we are looking forward to. But yes, we have to make sure that we do not have a situation where there's an exodus of the people in Singapore and there's nobody coming in because other countries are not that, has that high level of vaccination in a sense. Mm. And hence, we have to keep an eye on that.
Sounds like a lot more challenges ahead, but hey, we got to take it on before we can finally improve the situation. Joseph Ong, President, Singapore Nightlife Business Association, on the line with me. Joseph, appreciate your time this morning. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.